You know, it's tough out there, right? Like keeping up with everything that's changing, new research all the time, whether it's for your job or just something you're interested in, it feels impossible to stay on top of it all.
It really does. We're bombarded with information constantly. It's overwhelming.
Yeah, and you just wish there was like a cheat code, some way to get to the important stuff faster.
A shortcut to knowledge.
Exactly. Well, that's kind of what we do here on the Deep Dive. We go deep so you don't have to.
And do it.
And today, we're diving into something that I think a lot of people struggle with, how to do a good literature review, especially when there's so much information out there.
Right, and not just any literature review. We're looking at a resource called A Guide to Producing Scoping Literature Reviews Using AI Tools.
Using AI tools. That's what caught my eye. So this is part three of this guide, and it was originally made for students and faculty in Technology Innovation Management, TIM for short.
Yes. But even if you're not in TIM, the ideas here are super useful for anyone who needs to quickly get up to speed on a new topic.
Okay, so we've got this guide, but you know, things change so fast. How do you even know if the advice in a guide like this is still good?
That's actually what part three tackles head on. It's all about how the guide itself stays current, how they make sure it's not outdated, as soon as it's published.
I like that. Like, how does the guide stay smart?
Exactly. The research methods are always evolving. New databases pop up. AI tools change constantly.
Oh, yeah, the AI tools.
Yeah.
It seems like every week there's something new and more powerful.
So the guide needs a system to stay ahead of the curve, or at least keep up with it.
Makes sense. So how do they actually do that?
Well, they've got a pretty clever system in place. First off, they use version control, just like you see with software updates. So the guide is currently at version 1.0.
1.0, so is that like the first version?
Yeah, basically. But as they make updates, the version number will change. So a big change, like a major overhaul, would bump it up to 2.0. Smaller tweaks would be reflected in the decimal points, like 1.1, 1.2, and so on. So you can tell right away how big the changes are.
Oh, so you know it's a little tweak or a total rewrite.
Exactly. And they don't just wait for things to get outdated. They have a schedule for reviewing and updating everything.
Like a regular checkup.
Yeah, think of it like that. Every 6 months, they go through the entire guide, make sure it's still accurate, see if they need to add new tools or databases, things like that.
But what if something big happens in between those checkups? Like, I don't know, some huge breakthrough in AI.
That's where the ad hoc updates come in. If there's a major change that needs addressing right away, they can update the guide outside of that 6 month cycle.
So they're not just sitting around waiting for the next checkup.
Nope, they're on top of it. And to make sure you know what's changed, they keep a detailed change log. It's basically a history of every update they make.
Oh, so you can see exactly what's different from one version to the next.
Yeah, and there's also a last updated date right at the start of the guide. So for the current version, 1.0, the last update was March 4th, 2025.
Okay, so you can always see how fresh the information is.
Exactly. And another thing they do is get feedback from people who are actually using the guide. The TIM faculty, students who are doing these literature reviews, even clients on research projects.
So it's not just academics deciding what needs to change. They're getting real-world input.
Exactly. And they have an editorial board that reviews all the updates before they go live. So there's a layer of quality control.
That's reassuring. You know that experts have vetted everything. And what happens if you start using the guide and then they release a big update? Do you have to start all over?
Not at all. They keep archives of all the previous versions, so you can always go back and reference the one you were using. And they'll also let you know if there's a major update, either by email or through an announcement on the website.
That's great. So you're not left in the dark.
No, they make sure everyone's kept in the loop.
Okay, so this guide is all about using AI to do better literature reviews. But did they use AI to write the guide itself?
Great question. And the answer is yes, they were very upfront about that. They use tools like ChatGPT and Perplexity to help draft sections, summarize research, and even structure the content logically. Then they brought in even more advanced AI like Gemini 2.0, Grok 3, and OpenAI Deep Research to give feedback and refine the text.
Whoa, so they had AI helping AI. That's wild. But I'm guessing it wasn't just a free-for-all with the robots.
Oh, no. Human oversight was absolutely key throughout the entire process. They had expert reviewers carefully checking everything the AI produced. They fact-checked every detail, make sure the writing was clear and concise, and most importantly, they manually verified every single citation.
That's so important. Because AI can sometimes make stuff up, right? Those hallucinations we hear about.
Exactly. And they didn't want any of that in the guide. So human eyes were on everything to make sure it was all accurate and reliable. They also made sure to address any potential biases in the AI's output.
Because AI can reflect the biases in the data it was trained on, right?
Right. So they went through multiple rounds of review with different experts to make sure the guide was presenting a balanced perspective and not pushing any particular agenda.
So it wasn't just one person making all the call.
No, it was a team effort. And in the end, they estimate that about 50% of the initial draft was written with AI assistance.
50%? That's a lot.
It is. But remember, every single section was then reviewed, edited, and often completely rewritten by humans. So the final product is really a blend of AI power and human expertise.
That makes me feel a lot better. It's not just AI spitting out a guide, it's a collaboration.
Exactly. And they actually mentioned that this approach aligns with Carleton University's guidelines on responsible AI use and academic integrity.
That's good to know. They're being transparent about how they used AI and how they ensure the quality of the information. And it sounds like they're committed to keeping this balance between AI and human oversight in future updates, too.
Yes, that's definitely a key takeaway. AI can be a powerful tool, but it needs to be used carefully and ethically, especially in academic research.
Okay, so they've got this system for keeping the guide up to date. But can regular people like us contribute to making it even better?
Absolutely. They actively encourage contributions from the community. They have a whole section in the guide with suggestions for how you can get involved. For example, they're looking for ideas on how to leverage emerging technologies, like OpenAI's deep research, to improve the literature review process.
OpenAI's deep research, isn't that one of the newest AI models?
It is, and they're open to exploring how it can be used to make literature reviews even more efficient and effective. They're also looking for help in making the guide clearer and more accurate. So if you spot an error or think something could be explained better, they want to know.
So it's like a community effort to make the guide better for everyone.
Exactly. They also want to add more examples and use cases to the guide. Things like real-world scenarios of scoping reviews, step-by-step walkthroughs of different tools, maybe even screenshots to show how it all works in practice.
That would be super helpful, seeing how it all actually works.
Right. And they're also looking for better ways to handle what they call gray literature. That's stuff like government reports, industry white papers, things that aren't published in traditional academic journals but can still be really valuable.
Yeah, that stuff can be hard to find and even harder to figure out if it's reliable.
Exactly. So they're looking for good strategies for dealing with gray literature. And of course, they also want to hear about any content gaps. If you think there's something important that's missing from the guide, they want you to tell them.
So they're really open to suggestions from the community.
Absolutely. And they specifically mention wanting feedback on the AI aspects of the guide. Things like best practices for verifying citations, avoiding misinformation, and ensuring ethical use of AI. They want to make sure that the guide stays ahead of the curve as AI technology evolves.
So it's a two-way street. They're using AI to improve the guide, but they also want human feedback to make sure the AI is being used responsibly and effectively.
Exactly. And if you're interested in contributing, they have a contact person listed, Tony Bailetti at Carleton University.
So there's a real person you can reach out to.
Yeah. It's not just sending an email into the void. And they even have an acknowledgement section in the guide where they thank everyone who's contributed so far.
That's nice. They're giving credit where credit is due.
Yeah, it shows that they really value community involvement in this project.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here. It's been fascinating to see how they keep this guide up to date and relevant. Any final thoughts before we wrap up?
Well, the epilogue of the guide really sums it up nicely. The goal is to help you do efficient and thorough scoping reviews using AI. But it's not about letting the AI do all the work. It's about using AI as a tool to enhance your own expertise and critical thinking.
Right. It's about that balance.
Exactly. And as AI keeps getting more powerful, that balance is going to become even more important. We need to make sure we're using AI responsibly and ethically, especially in research.
Absolutely. And the guide makes a good point about how important it is to be transparent about how we use AI and to always keep human oversight in the loop.
Yeah, transparency and accountability are key. And ultimately, well-conducted scoping reviews are essential for good research. They help us identify what we already know, what we still need to learn, and where the most promising research opportunities lie.
So the takeaway for me is that this guide is more than just a set of instructions. It's a reflection of how research itself is evolving in this age of AI. It's about embracing new tools while also maintaining high standards of quality and rigor.
Exactly. And for you, the listener, I think this deep dive shows that it's not just about the information itself, but about understanding how that information is created and maintained. It's about being critical and asking questions and recognizing that knowledge is a dynamic process.
So as a final thought for our listeners to ponder, as AI becomes even more integrated into how we create and share knowledge, how do we ensure that the information we rely on is still trustworthy and accurate? Where do we draw the line between the power of technology and the importance of human judgment? That's something I think we all need to be thinking about. Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive.